Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. Waluigi is the best Luigi. Welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're talking about Red Dead Redemption 2 and other... So I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 a whole bunch, and I want to start off by saying that it is a good game. That sounds like I'm gonna tear it apart. I'm not, but I just feel like I want to get it out there before I get into any of it, that it's a game that's worth buying, because it's incredible. It's beautiful. It's massive. It's revolutionary in a couple of ways. It is definitely one of those AAA games that is a AAA game. You know, like a lot of games come out and you're like, oh, it's a AAA game, and then you play it and you're like, this is very boring and there's actually not much going on.
Yeah, and I think it's like any kind of Rockstar game where it's kind of like, the even though it's like one story and it's your journey, like,
yeah, absolutely.
How you interact with the world is very different to how I would react to the world and so on and so forth. And how you react to the world
spoilers
is very
for
different.
Our audience. So the way you would react to the world, Joel, is that you'd probably play the game. Jackson's reaction to the world is to shoot every dog.
In a lot of games, I am absolutely the minority here, I've found, but I tend to play a bad guy if I can. I like choosing those. A lot of games give you the option of playing a villain, and then 99% of the time, people won't choose it. But any game that gives me the option, I will, because I think that's always going to be a more interesting story. But most people who are making games don't actually expect you to choose that side. So often it's more boring. But there we go. But so in reviewing Red Dead Redemption 2, there are a couple of questions that I wanted to ask and answer, because they're the questions I know I would have about it. My first question is, how long till I know every mechanic? At a certain point, you know everything there is to know, and you know that the rest of the game is just going to be variations of everything that's come before.
Not yet.
This happened to me heaps in Far Cry 5, because in Far Cry 5, about maybe a third of the way through the game, I was like, okay, so there are basically six missions, and every mission is just that mission, one of those six missions, with like different clothes on.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and you're playing any sort of game and you peel it back to be like, oh wait, this is one of six quests.
Fallout 4 is actually an incredible example of that, because at a certain point, you're like, oh, every single mission is go to location and kill the people there, or go to location, sometimes kill the people there, collect a thing.
Yeah,
that is the long and short of it. Nothing is new, nothing is unique.
Yeah,
you learn that too early in that game, and I think that's why a lot of people really were unhappy with it. But with Red Dead Redemption, like, I've been playing for, I want to say, maybe 12 hours now, and I know that there are still maybe longer than 12 hours,
like,
maybe more like 20. But there are still mechanics that I don't know. I know there are canoes in the game. I have yet to find one. I have seen one cougar. I have seen a bear. I've seen a bear twice. Once I had to fight it. Once it was just running past me, and I was like, "That's it'd be fun to deal with." But I have other stuff that is on my mind. I know that there will be a point where I have figured out what every mission is going to entail, and that even like all of the hunting missions are basically the same hunting mission, etc., etc. But I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And I think if I can get 20 hours, 30 hours into a game, and I have not, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Rockstar are really, really good at doing a thing where they throw missions you've never done before, like, past halfway in the game. Like, I know GTA, a lot of GTA games have that. There'll be, like, a weird mission. like two-thirds through the way through a game and you're like, what?
Yeah, like I think in GTA 5, it's like halfway through the game. They're like, hey, now you get to ride a submarine. And you're like, oh, all right. Cool, I didn't even know this was an option. But here I am in a submarine. And it is one of my biggest pet peeves. It's not even a pet peeve. It's just something I hate in a game is when I'm like, oh, there are four mission types. Mm. And every gun is basically the same gun with like a minor amount of change in damage or range, but to a point where it's not really noticeable.
And I'm noticing with Red Dead too, unlike say Grand Theft Auto 5, where there was this like, oh, now you can play darts and golf and do some yoga, and there was a lot of just faff included.
There's still a lot of faff in Red Dead. I just ignore it.
Okay,
there is poker, which is just poker, and what game has not included poker? Like, you know what I mean? When a game is like, hey, guess what? You can play a card game that you could play on your Windows 98. Like,
although poker,
Zach, KOTOR 2 and 1. Yes.
Well, yeah, because some games will bring out like a card game, like Gwent in The Witcher, which is a totally unique card game that is like a game within a game that's really fun. And even
there was a game in Fallout
New
Fantasy,
Vegas had the same thing.
Like Final Fantasy 9, they had like a little card game that I played ridiculous amounts of time with.
They're not the kind of thing that I ever enjoy doing in a game, but I don't dislike them. They won't lose points.
As someone who has watched you play Red Dead and have seen how much money you have and yet how high your bounties are, maybe you should invest some time in poker and earn some of that money back.
But it's cowboy time, so you're like, I bet 10 cents. I'm like, I need to be talking in hundreds. My bounties are so high. But yeah, so to answer the question, how long till I know every mechanic? I think it'll take a while. Mm. And I think that's such a testament to a good game, because it means there's depth. I've not fished yet, and I'm 20 hours in. Not that maybe fishing will be super fun, but it's cool to know that that's something I have yet to do. Yeah. The next question, kind of a variation, how long till I get bored? So that, for me, I get bored so quickly.
You do.
I just jump around and I get bored. And if a game doesn't keep me entertained for long enough, if it doesn't present me with a challenge, if it doesn't, I just stop caring. And when I stop caring, it's no fun anymore for me or anyone watching me, because I'm just rolling around or being like, can I jump off this cliff? Who cares? What if I just walk into this bandit camp with no weapons? Can I just spend the rest of the game lassoing people? And at a certain point, I run out of steam. But Red Dead Redemption 2, like, it's huge and it's so slow that it kind of works in its favor. Like, the map is massive, but I actually don't know if it's that much more massive than, I think it is. I think it's bigger than the GTA 5 map.
But there's no planes.
You're on a horse, or you're walking if you lose your horse down a hill, like I have a couple of times. And then you're just walking.
How much horsepower you get out of a horse?
Yeah.
One!
Exactly. A horse is one horsepower. I think it's actually four. I think a horse is four horsepower.
Yeah, a horse is more than one horsepower.
Weirdly. Yeah.
That, I hope it's four, because that means that one horsepower equals one horse leg.
That's true.
You'll probably find out in the game.
I'm sure there'll be a moment explained. So the fact that it's so big and the fact that you're so slow means that, like, to experience everything, like, I'm 20 hours in, and if I get bored in the area I'm in, I'm like, well, I could just go up to the snow, see what's going on there. Or I could just go down to the bayou and see what's going on there.
Or play some poker and pay off your debts.
There's easier ways to pay off debts, like robbing strangers, killing people who need help, and taking their cents to eventually build up enough money, assuming I don't spend it on new hats to pay off my debts, which I actually don't want to do, because I don't know what it does to have a bounty that high.
Well, that's the thing, because you end up getting some treasure and getting a lot of money, and you were like, I'm going to pay off my debts. And I was like, Jack, why?
Yeah.
It doesn't go above $300.
Mm-hmm.
Your bounty is like going to be peaked at $300, and chances are you're going to commit more murders.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So then why pay it off?
I think the point is,
there are no downsides to having a high bounty.
That you can go into towns and people will
you
probably.
Can still go into
I
towns
can go in towns and buy stuff. Nobody. The worst thing that has happened because of my high bounty is, one, when I cross a border, bounty hunters ambush me often. But that's fun. That's like an exciting part of gameplay where I'll just be like walking through a little gully, and then all of a sudden four people on horses will round about, and I'll be like, okay, cool, I'm fighting for my life. And also, every town I go into, they're like, hey, you keep walking, because everyone hates me. Don't you start trouble. And it's great.
So much like how people interact with you in real life.
Exactly. I go into a supermarket and they're like, hey, hands where I can see them.
Hey, bozo! Don't think I don't know.
Knucklehead, keep your hands to yourself. But yes, the map's huge and you move slowly, and I think it'll take a long time to get bored. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
And then that's the thing. It's like, if you get bored, you can just go and do something else.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I'm bored of this either mission. Mm. You can be like, oh, I'm going to go and rob a train.
Yeah.
And that's sort
of however, it also weirdly works to its detriment, because I know there have been times already where I'm like, I'm bored in the farm area, the heartland, I think it's called. I'm going to go up to the snow. But then I see the distance that it's going to take me and how long it'll take me to walk. And I'm like, ugh.
I guess I'll just do farm biz.
Yeah, like I just can't be bothered taking that journey. So it's just not... That in itself becomes a bit boring. And it's lovely to look at the gorgeous scenery because everything is like just so beautiful.
But in Red Dead 2's defense, often on the way to, say, the new place, you will get distracted.
Especially by everyone trying to kill you due to your very high bounties.
Exactly. So I guess what I'm saying is don't play as a white hat. Don't play as a good boy. Play as a criminal so that your journeys are more fun. It also means you can ride past someone on a horse and just casually shoot them with a shotgun for something to do.
Lasso him off a horse.
Exactly. Drag him behind you. Whatever.
I watched you play for about 25 minutes before we recorded this episode, and I saw you lasso a farm man, a man who just worked on a farm.
Yeah.
Hog tie him, tie him to the back of your horse, ride that horse into a tar pit, and accidentally drown the man in tar. And on a separate occasion, you robbed a blind guy who was begging, and then he snuck up behind you and punched you in the back of the head, and then you killed him.
I'm starting to think he wasn't blind.
I don't think he was blind either. I think he knew exactly what was going on. He knew the score. So, yeah, being villainous does have its benefits. A downside to being villainous, and this is something I only discovered... like whilst into playing, and I don't think they explain everywhere. So you have like a honorable, dishonorable bar kind of thing. I don't think that's what it's called, but basically it's the more good deeds you do, the more honorable you become and the more like people recognize you as a good person and vice versa. The worse a person you are, the lower you go in the bar and people hate you. Now, if you're a good boy, if you're a white hat, you get like heaps of benefits. Like you get specific outfits that you can buy. And at the highest ranking of it, everything in shops is half price, which is great. And I think there's three tiers and each one comes with massive benefits. If you're a bad boy or black hat, by the first tier is that everybody you loot, you'll get like a higher loot drop.
Better at robbing.
Better at robbing. And that's it. And that is pretty disappointing. So there are no real benefits to playing as a lawless character, and I get it because it is a lot. Speaking of someone who is killing nearly every stranger that asks for help, it is so much easier to be a bad guy than a good guy.
Yeah,
I just think it's a bit disappointing that in a game where you are a bandit, you are a villain in the game. You just don't have much incentive to do villainous things.
But isn't the journey of being a villain fun in and of itself, its own reward?
Absolutely. Like, but it would be nice to get an outfit for it.
I want to be rewarded with dress-ups.
I do, though.
But, like, because, again, you're right. It's very easy, almost by default, to be a bad boy.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, well, you kind of get more loot because you're killing more people.
But the difference is that, so if I go into a general store and I have 50% off, I can get 50% off outfits, off tonics, off food, off guns, of everything. If I loot people, I can get cans of beans and occasionally ammunition. And that's cool, but it's just not that interesting.
What happens if you kill the shop owner?
If I kill the shop owner, I'm probably not allowed back in the town from memory. But he loves me because I come in and buy clothes. Everyone else, I'll roll into a town. Everyone will be like, you keep walking. But I come into the shop and he's like, welcome back. He knows what's good for him. But I just think that it would be nice if they get, if you're going to have like that system, like a karma system in your game, make it worthwhile doing either one, because otherwise that's actually not choice. That's just.
Yeah. Like, I can see like, you get nothing by kind of going in between and being this sort of like,
That's
not
fine.
I'm just doing my own thing. Fair enough. But you're right. I feel like maybe even like a sweet like bandit outfit, maybe?
Something. And I know that a friend of mine who's playing, he was saying, yes, there is like a bandit outfit, but it's not like as obvious a reward. And I don't think it's got to do with that karma bar at all.
Okay.
So, yeah. I think it's just another thing you can find in the world, which is a shame. So another question that I have is how long until I find everything in the open world? Because like, again, as you were saying with Spider-Man or Far Cry 5, eventually you've seen the map. And once you've seen the map, and you know, with Spider-Man, certainly, you've seen the map, and you're like, well...
Oh, buildings.
It's just buildings. Cool. Yeah. There's no, secrets. There's none of those nooks and crannies that are super fun to find. And GTA 5 was similar. GTA 5 had this illusion that this was a massive, open, lived-in world with a whole bunch of secrets to find. But then you hit a point, and you're like, well, it's actually not.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, I mean, like, this area is cool to walk around in. There's actually nothing here. It's just an area. There's people to kill and there's cars to drive.
Yeah.
And GTA 5, and I think, unfortunately, just with any open world game with the current level of technology we have, that's always going to happen.
Well, yeah.
You know.
And I think it's just this problem now that we have to have every game needs to be open world. Mm. When it's just like, maybe just make it...
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love a game that is not open world. Give me a game with like linear, exciting environments where every new environment is different and comes with its own challenges. Super into that. But having said that, Red Dead Redemption, whilst you will probably eventually kind of explore the open world, because you're on foot and because it is just wilderness, like I have areas on my map that I have like unlocked, but I don't know what's in them really. Like, because there's no city, you're not in a city. Like GTA 5 is like city, forest, coast. And you're like, cool, well, I know those areas and I know the big kind of like landmarks here. But Red Dead Redemption, I'm sure eventually, but it'll take me long enough that by the time I've learned the map like the back of my hand, I'll be bored of the game anyway. You know what I mean?
And also, like, when it comes down to it, if you're getting like 60 to 70 hours of entertainment out of it,
that's good.
That's well and truly worth it.
Absolutely. That's no matter how much you spend on a game, 60 hours is... Well, no, that's not true. You've spent $1,000 on it. That's rough, but you're insane for doing that. But for the price of your average game, 60 hours of content is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Or not even content, 60 hours of your enjoyment is incredible.
I would even say, like, if you're paying 60, 70 Australian dollars, so 4-5 Great British pounds for a game... And you're getting more than like 10, 15 hours of enjoyment. That's really good. Like, I've bought some indie games where they cost like 10, 15 Australian dollars and it's been good for about an hour. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, cool. That's fine. Because, like, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Like, that's, yeah, absolutely.
Had a good time. But I've got one question about Red Dead.
Sure.
I'm not super fond of GTA 5 and I don't really like GTA 4. The storytelling and the sense of humor and stuff like that, and it annoys me.
Well, what's wonderful about Red Dead Redemption is that it's just like devoid of that.
Good.
There's just none of that weird kind of... It's almost like reminds me of South Park humor or the GTA 5 humor where they're like, we're poking fun at society, iPhones and what have you. And it's just, it's a bit like, you know, there's a whole like Apple side mission in GTA 5 where you're like an old man and a computer has viruses on it. And it's just like... I don't know. It's a bit embarrassing almost to play. Now, Red Dead Redemption feels like... I actually haven't played Red Dead 1. I should probably say that. I've never played Red Dead 1. I watched my brother play Red Dead 1 basically from start to finish, but I've never played it myself.
Yeah.
And that one didn't seem to have that much in the way of like satire of a Western. Although you were saying to me, Zamet, that apparently it did.
No, I was watching this whole thing, which is like the philosophy of Red Dead Redemption. And it was all about like how it is poking fun of the tropes of...
Yeah, okay.
Like a Western, that kind of stuff. And colonialism and all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's like a little bit less on the nose than maybe GTA 5 was.
Yeah.
It's more just, aware of its source material and plays to your expectations rather than...
Than being like, you're a parody of real life.
Yeah.
You know, it's silly kind of GTA 5 comedy, which I totally agree. I never find it funny. I'm not like, oh my God, I'm just going to sit here and listen to the radio. I turn the radio off or I listen to the songs. But yeah, Red Dead Redemption and specifically, certainly Red Dead Redemption 2 just feels like a Western. I mean, it does have those, like, obviously every Rockstar game is going to have one drunk old man. You know, they love chucking in some guy. Oh, I'm the crazy preacher. But it's kind of par for the course. I think you just kind of accept that, you know. The things that have annoyed me about the game, because there are...
A few things.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of things in the game that I've been like, why? So part of this game to me feels almost old-fashioned. Which is really hard for me to describe, but I feel like...
I have no idea what you mean by that.
So... When I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2, occasionally some of the menus and some of the way you navigate through the menus feels like the kind of thing that would have happened on like Xbox 360 or like a PS3 back in the day. It's a bit clunky in a way that maybe they're trying to... So for example, there's been like a lot of debate about Red Dead Redemption that I've seen online where people are like, hey, is realism immersion or can realism just be really annoying? So like... And I think part of that makes it feel like a kind of a bit of like a like an older game. Like, so if I want to craft, say, a sausage, right?
Yes,
I want to craft a sausage. I have to go to my campfire. Mm-hmm. I have to, well, first I have to make a campfire. Then I have to sit at the campfire. I have to go into the crafting menu. Mm-hmm. I have to make one sausage. Then I have to hold down X as I put the sausage over the fire for a bit. Then I have to choose if I'm going to eat the sausage now or if I'm going to put it in my pack. Whereas I feel like it'd be so much, like, that's fun once, but so much easier if I could just be like, menu, make a sausage. You know what I mean? It's like these weird extra steps that I guess they're trying to go for realism, but just become very frustrating after a time.
Well, would you compare it to something like The Long Dark, where it forces you to do stuff like that just to increase the difficulty?
Yeah, but
do you
even
think that
in
maybe Red Dead is doing a similar thing?
But even in The Long Dark, I can be like, okay, click on the thing, go. Like, it's just, it's so much, the least, so, what am I trying to say here? So many fewer steps to get to the end goal.
Yeah, I was noticing even, like, when, say, making your own bullets or, like, kind of a, that, it's, you do it by bullet.
Yeah.
And so if you're making, like, 100 bullets, you have to do the same action 100 times.
And it's very
funny. You can't bulk it.
Yeah. And I feel like in an older game, that's how it would go down. Yeah. But it's very funny that you have, like, this mechanic that makes it feel like such an old, like a much older game, but is clearly put in there to be like, oh my God, look at what we're capable of.
Yeah, I remember because I used to play World of Warcraft, and one of the very first iterations of all the crafting, you have to do it one by one. So I was like, I want to, you know, smelt this gold bar, craft, 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 craft. And then eventually they're like, yeah, look, we get it. It's ridiculous. That takes too long. You can now just do it in batches of like, you know, 10, 20 or like however many materials you have. So you're like, yep, cool. And craft, you know, 100 bullets would be kind of nice.
Just like a lot nicer if I had the option. Another thing that's kind of the controls are, I wouldn't call them fluid. I would say, again, maybe they're trying to go for a sense of realism, but I find it very difficult sometimes just walking, which sounds so silly. So, for example, some areas, for some reason, you can't run in, and in areas where I don't know why that was the decision made. So you're a bandit. Obviously, you have a big bandit camp. When you're in the bandit camp, you have to walk, which looks cool, but is so frustrating when you're like, the mission is on the other side of the camp. You've slowed me down completely, and the pace of the game is now all out of whack. You start the game. That intro is maybe the longest, most laborious intro of any game I've ever played, because you're in snow, and it's just a slog. It's cool when it gets fast, but you're like, this seems like such a strange place to start your game. Once I got into the game proper, I'm like, oh, cool, like, there's the fluidity of movement. But that beginning was a weird choice on Rockstar's
part. I like when video games start like that. And I think Rockstar video games might do that quite a bit, where it's just, like, two characters talking. Is that what you mean?
Or
like
no, so it, the beginning is that, basically, you're in a camp in the snow.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to go into the rest of the Red Dead map.
Yeah.
And then you do all these little missions that are clearly like weird tutorials or just tutorials, but it's a lot of like, we have to go up into the snow to like get this person, but you get off your horse and you can't run. You move at like a snail's pace. You're like, kind of like just moving like a slug to get to the, and then there's a conversation and then you got to do it back. Yeah. And to me, that's just kind of like,
that reminds me of like the Half-Life 2 intro, which is one that is quite famous and I quite like.
But the Half-Life 2 intro takes about maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This took about maybe an hour.
Oh.
And that, to me, is... I'm the kind of guy that if I get a game, I want to be able to be like, start game, and I'm in the game.
You want to play the game wrong from the get-go. You don't want to be forced to play it right for a bit.
Absolutely. And that's another kind of thing that's a bit annoying, is that... if you play a bad guy, if you play a good guy, it actually doesn't really matter. It does in terms of, like, you know, like, benefits and stuff. But all of the dialogue and all of the conversations and all of the interactions just split the difference down the middle no matter what.
Yeah.
Because obviously they want to be like, well, you could play a bad guy or you could play a good guy, but that just means that when you are playing it, you know, you're just a neutral guy.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not going to record a separate piece of dialogue or a separate encounter for every single choice you could make. And that just kind of gets a bit annoying when they give you that choice, but it's really the illusion of choice. And finally, mechanics-wise or gameplay-wise, they've used every button on the controller to it feels like it's heavy with options in a way, and some of them are so close to each other that it's really annoying. So you take your gun out, right? That's great. But then you have to press it again to put your gun in, but also the button to interact with someone is the same button as to shoot them. Assuming your gun's not in your holster or it's close. And so often I've been like, oh, here's a guy I just like to greet. Bang! And then I'm like, oh, not even bang. No, sorry. It's not to shoot them. It's to aim at them. So I'll be like, oh, hi. And I'll just put my gun on them. And they'll be like, oh my God, he's going to shoot me. And then all of a sudden everyone's attacking me and I'm like, ah, I have to go away, outrun the law, come back. It's just not super intuitive.
Exactly the same thing again.
Yeah. Sometimes I have. And I'm like, just let me be like, oh, if I want to talk to someone, I can hold it on them, put gun away, or just give me that leeway, you know what I mean, to to make it so that I'm not going into town and just screwing up straight away and slowing down the gameplay. But then I guess in itself, that gives me something to do. So yeah. I'm not really sure. I don't really care about the story. That's just not who I am.
Yeah.
The story's fine. It's interesting enough, but I'm not super invested. I'm not a story boy. Mm. I never have been.
You're a chaos man.
It's fair. Look, I play a game. I play it mostly for story. So
I cannot stand it. If a game has terrible gameplay but a really good story, that won't keep me there. But if a game has terrible story but really good gameplay, I'll play it to death. That's why I think I love The Long Dark. Not on story mode, because it is just like, here's the game. Just pure game.
Yeah, even Skyrim and stuff like that. The story there is not. I mean, there is a story.
But it's certainly not the focus.
You liked Breath of the Wild quite a lot.
Yeah.
That story is very sparse.
Exactly. But I really dislike The Last of Us, because it's very story heavy, and the gameplay, it sucks.
And you're not a big fan of Bioshock Infinite.
Exactly, either. For the same reason.
But you like Bioshock 2.
Bioshock 2 is the best Bioshock, hands down. I love that game.
Their third best Bioshock.
Maybe I should play that again.
Okay.
and finally, there are way too many characters in your camp. I don't know who all these people are, and I'm just confused most of the time. I hate that every mission, like the mission icon on your map, is the initials of the character. And I'm like, Rockstar, I have not gotten to know these people. Who's this? I often don't find out who I'm doing a mission for until I arrive. And I'm like, oh, John Marston. All right, you just were M on the map. I didn't know who you could be. Cool. What are we doing? And that's a bit annoying. But ultimately, I think in terms of amount of thumbs.
Thumb cramps, thumb score?
The thumb score for this game is probably 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Four out of 5, yeah.
Ooh.
That's where it is. Maybe even a 4.5 out of 5.
Four and a half thumbs.
4.5 thumbs. Because
Which half of the thumb? Top half, bottom half?
Bottom half, but top half is still visible on hand. Like I've got an invisible thumb from joint 1 to knuckle. Is that a knuckle on the thumb? This bit? What's this?
That's a knuckle.
Feels wrong to have a knuckle that far away from the rest of the knuckles.
A little sneaky side knuckle.
The thumb knuckle.
Thumb knuckle. So I'll give it 4 thumbs and 1 thumb knuckle out of 5. And that, it's only losing that 0.5 for some weird control choices. But other than that, yeah, that's literally the only reason. Literally because I keep pulling a gun on people I don't mean to. And also some of the menus and the crafting menus and stuff like that feel really old-fashioned. Okay. And that like insistence on realism when we want immersion, not realism. So yeah, 4 thumbs and 1 thumb knuckle out of 5 for Red Dead Redemption
That's a huge
2.
Thumb score, but not the thumb score people would have been expecting.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay, well, let's just have a quick word from our sponsors, potentially.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And if you're enjoying the show and looking for more content, why not head on over to sanspantsradio.com and check out all the other shows that we do as part of the Sans Pants Network, like D&D is for Nerds, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Now, this week, I've been playing a game called Two Point Hospital, which is, I think, the spiritual successor to a game that I adored when I was a kid called Theme Hospital. I'm pretty sure it's actually made by the same developed team, maybe, or there's people that worked in Theme Hospital that worked in this one. Either way, it's very, very, very fun. It's very much like Theme Hospital in that, you know, it's like a top-down isometric, you're in charge of building a hospital.
Yep. Okay.
Theme Hospital was a game that I devoted a lot of my time and energy in growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice to sort of play like an updated version of that.
That rolls.
And it is just basically a lot of fun. Like, I don't really have like a huge amount of things to say about it apart from I'm having fun, and it's a lot more difficult than Theme Hospital ever was.
I think it's really nice when, so as a kid, me and my brother, my younger brother, we would play Zoo Tycoon to death. We played that game so much, and it was like we'd come home from school, chuck it on the computer, and both of us would play Zoo Tycoon. And then Zoo Tycoon 2 came out, and it was terrible. It was, like, updated. It was made way easier. They'd kind of simplified everything. Like, in Zoo Tycoon 1, there are too many animals. And building, like, an enclosure for one involves, like, you got to get the right foliage and the right food. Yeah, yeah. And it's got to be the right amount of space. And they got to have this and that and this. And then Zoo Tycoon 2 was like, you just need to choose the right biome. And then Zoo Tycoon 3 was way worse because every pen was, like, its own building. So you didn't build the pen yourself. You just chose Lion Pen, and that was that. So it's really nice, I think, for a game, like a sim game or a theme game, to be like, we're actually going to make it more difficult. We're going to make it like a better version of the one that came before, not an easier one for, you know. Like when a sim game is designed for fans of the original, like the sequel is made for fans, not new people to the franchise.
Yeah, and this is definitely made for, I mean, you could easily pick this one up without playing Theme Hospital
before,
because it's just, there is a level of difficulty that I was not expecting.
Cool.
And it's a lot of fun.
They explain this previous story in a flashback.
Now, you're just going to pick it up from journals throughout the game. What happened to the characters from Theme Hospital?
Where is that crazy doctor with a chainsaw? But there's like stuff like, say, there's a teaching mechanic in, or training mechanic in, say, Theme Hospital, where it's like, you had your doctors and all they did was psychiatry, surgery, or research, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here it's like, no, you can train for like speed, stamina, happiness.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can work in certain areas, and it's just...
it's cool that you can train for happiness. Yeah. My doctors suck, but they're having a great time.
And again, in Theme Hospital, it was like, you know, your doctors are your bread and butter, nurses did certain things, and admin did only small things. Here it's like, no, you need nurses for everything. You need admins for like a lot of other stuff. And yeah, doctors and certain doctors only do certain things. So there's a lot more involved, and you need to be so aware. Like, I had to go on a website to be like, I just need basic tips on how to play this game because I keep dying. And, oh, not dying, I keep just becoming massively.
Your hospital is dead.
Like, massively in debt. So it is kind of like hospital death.
Not fair.
It's like, that's a hospital death rules.
So I've been really enjoying that. I've just been kind of just thrashing that a lot. And it's sort of one where it's like the gameplay is very simple. It kind of holds your hand a little bit at the start, where it's like, here's your hospital, kind of build some basic stuff. And it works just sort of star system. It's like, you know, 1 star, get this, 2 star, 3 star. And you kind of have objectives, which is really, really nice. And like, once you hit those objectives, you can keep playing it.
Yeah, sweet.
So hopefully when I eventually get to the end, if I do, it'll be like, oh, awesome, I've become really good. Now I'm going to make it best hospital ever. Will I get there? No, because I'm bad. Will I get in a lot of debt? Yeah.
Hospital death is coming your way.
What's your thumb score?
Yeah, what's your thumb cramp's thumb score?
See, I don't know. See, I only have 2 thumbs. I always find it very difficult to envision 5. Yeah,
5 thumbs. So that's intense. I've never even thought of that.
So for me, I want to kind of pair this back to just add a 2.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So that's fine. I mean, it's still out of 5. So you give it a 2. That's bad.
No, but a 2 out of 5, but if you've only got 2 thumbs, is a 5 out of 5.
That's but then true. What's a 1?
One thumb.
One thumb.
No, but what's a 2.5? On the old system.
A thumb and a thumb knuckle.
0, 1, and... Anyway, well, either way, I'm going to give this in my own rate, my own thumb cramp.
Yeah.
I'm branching out, boys. I'm making a break for it. I'm giving it 2 thumbs up out of 2. Or, if I want to be back on the old system, 5 thumbs out of 5.
Okay.
5 thumbs out of 5. That's a huge thumb score.
It's a massive fun game. I haven't played a lot of it in terms of... I don't think I've played a lot. I've glanced down and see how many hours I've played. I'm already at 20. So again, it's a game where you will lose hours can easily lose hours, especially if, say, you were a fan of the original Theme Hospital or you kind of like that style of game. It's a lot of fun.
Perfect. That's a huge score. So continuing on from last episode, I've continued my Mario Party trend, but this time I'm up to date. Playing Super Mario Party.
Ah,
heaps.
Went from the beginning to the end.
The alpha,
nothing in the middle.
The alpha and the omega. Mario Party on Nintendo 64 and Super Mario Party, the new release on the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I have heard but haven't experienced a lot because I haven't played them is that apparently the recent entries in the Mario Party series were no good.
Yeah, I played the one for the Wii U and it was very strange. You were all in the same cart together.
Oof.
And
I want to tell you that that has already hit a part of my brain that makes you want to vomit.
It was bizarre. And also, every single one had a point, every map had a point where Bowser got released and he would chase you down the map. And there were specific minigames that were all of you versus Bowser. It was very weird.
I hate that.
Mm. The only good, so there was, that was one version, and the other version, one person played as Bowser. That was all right. But yeah, it was kind of garbage.
I hate that less, but also still hate it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Super Mario Party follows the same trend as the first Mario Party, where you're all separate, you're on a board, you roll a dice, you move those many spots, you'll then play each other in a minigame. But the maps this time, look, I'm having a good time with this.
Yeah.
There is a lot of things I like, a few things that I'm like, huh, weird. Yeah. So there's not many maps. There's only four maps in this, which is not many, and the maps are very small and not that varied.
No.
I'm having a good time with it. The minigames I was worried about because since the first one, it seems like they used all of their ideas. Even in the first one, there's a few minigames where you're like, was this a fun game idea or were you just honing?
You always get a couple of duds, a couple of Mario Party games where you're like, this is just math. Or this is just like question and answer. This is just multiple choice. This isn't clever.
Press A six times. Yeah.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of games in this one that are like, are actually fun. And I haven't encountered many where I'm like, I hate this. Where, even in the first ones, I'm like, oh, there's a few, there's probably like 10 games there that I don't like playing.
Yeah, sure.
There's one in the first one that's just like pipe maze. You just put a chest in a pipe and then you have no control over it. And then
just guess, it's chance, just, good. My favorite game was always the grab bag.
Oh, I love grab bag. Because that can change, if you're clever and you target one person, they can lose like 40 coins in a game.
I know.
It's bad. It sucks for them.
It's good for bullying.
I'm a massive fan of the Super Mario Party minigame where I think it's called Snapshot, where someone is trying to take a photo of you and you get, no, Slapshot. You got to slap everyone out of the way so that you're center frame for the photo. It's just very good. There's a lot of chaos and a lot of hitting each other out of the way. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, and the 2v2 games in Super Mario Party are also really good at getting you angry at your teammates and angry at the other team.
Yeah.
Where I feel that the previous games, you can just sort of be like, ah, we lost. But this one, you're like yelling at everyone. It's a good time. I'm having a good time with it. But
yeah,
I think when it comes down to the thumb score, and I'm a traditionalist in the thumb cramps thumb score, it's out of 5 thumbs. I'm probably going to give it probably 4 thumbs.
What's it losing thumbs for?
Not much variety with the maps.
Yeah. Have you played any of the other modes?
No, I've only played the Mario Party
mode. They're not that good. So, like, fair. One of them is you're in, like, a boat going down a river, and you've actually got to
act out the rowing.
Yeah, but it's not. It's the kind of thing where in all of, like, the advertising for it and in the, like, hey, here's how to do it. They're like, you hold your Switch controller like an oar. But you can just kind of stab forward with it and it does the same thing. Or you can just not do anything and your teammates will take care of it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So look, there's a few things in it, and for a party game, it seems really fun. And the fact that the Switch has two controllers built in means that I already had two controllers, which ruled. And it's the first game I've had where I'm like, ooh, maybe I should go buy another set of Joy-Cons.
Mm.
So that's pretty good. I mean, if Nintendo wanted to make even more money off me, this was a good game to do. And I think it's going to tie over any Mario
heads.
Any Mario heads out there that are looking for to scratch that itch before the release of Super Smash Bros., where everyone inevitably forgets about every game that's come out this year and just plays Smash Bros. For like 400 hours. So 4 thumbs out of 5.
All right. So what does that give this episode's thumb score?
So there's a 5, a 4, and a 3. No, 4.
4 and a knuckle.
Now we're going to do secret math again, and this is never our good strong suit.
Never our good strong suit.
Never our good strong suit.
14.5 out of 15.
13.5.
13.5.
Is it?
4, 4.5, and 5.
You doofus.
13.5.
You doofus. The trick is I'm the grandest doofus because I had no idea either way. I had no score to provide the table.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of doofuses, and this actually goes from last episode as well. So, playing Super Mario Party, last time when I was playing Mario Party, you'll remember that Luigi
gave you the business.
He dogged me right at the end. He's a big green idiot. And I thought that my hatred to one of the Mario brothers had peaked.
Yeah.
In Super Mario Party, because the maps are small, it is possible to roll, especially later in the game, high rolls that means that you can pass Toad more than once.
Ah.
Mario, in the last turn of the second last game of Super Mario Party I played, I was up by 2 stars. He somehow rolled a 14, got the star...
Because he got allies that I'd give you extra dice, yeah.
Yeah, he got the star twice and also went past a square that let him steal my star, which meant that I lost, and then he won all the awards, so I wasn't even close in the end. And I was just sitting there seething, whispering rude things to Mario.
Your big-headed galoot.
You're little and Peach hates you.
That's rough.
You're
ass.
Such a knucklehead.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel. This episode gets a 13.5 out of 15 on our Thumb Cramps thumb score. And if you want to email us with any game recommendations, review suggestions, or just general information, email us at sanspenceradio@gmail.com.
See you later, thumb
children.
Children?
Children of the thumb.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.